This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Control, Alt, and Deliberate. Global leaders meet to discuss AI safety. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks very much for joining us. Global leaders and tech giants are gathering in the UK to discuss the safety of artificial intelligence. Representatives from 27 governments, including the US and China, are meeting with executives from Google, Meta, and Microsoft to address AI's potential risks, such as loss of human control and bioterrorism. The boss of cybersecurity company Darktrace, Poppy Gustafsson, will be there. She says AI is currently in a data-gathering phase, but how it's managed in future will be the key.
The next stage will be that technology using that information to make decisions and take actions. And that is where that human sort of fail-safe is a really important aspect. And how are you controlling it? So ultimately, how do you stop it and how do you interrupt it?
I asked the BBC's technology correspondent, Mark Chislack, who's at the summit in Bletchley Park, what we can expect from the gathering.
There's been great play made that this is the first AI safety summit, you know, bringing together figures from governments around the world, power players in the AI and big tech industry to explore some of the issues and risks that AI presents.
It seems like it has a lot of important groups. You've got 27 governments, including the US and China. You've also got big companies like Google, Meta, Microsoft. They're all discussing this, but do we expect any regulatory outcomes, any concrete outcomes?
It's unlikely that there's going to be any great sweeping regulatory moves made against AI at this particular event. The Prime Minister and the government have said that the point of this is to move slowly and to explore the issues, gain an understanding of what some of the risks could actually be before moving to create any kind of regulation that might stifle innovation, for instance. And, you know, we've got some really, really big players here. Yes, there's been talk in the press that the PM has been snubbed ever so slightly by some world leaders, that we haven't got the US President Joe Biden here, we haven't got French President Emmanuel Macron here, or German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, but we do have the US Vice President Kamala Harris, the President of the European Commission Ursula von der Leyen. At the very last minute, we had that announcement that Elon Musk is going to be here, sprinkling some of his celebrity tech billionaire stardust over the event. And the government has said that it is quite happy with its guest list of AI and big tech power players, as well as those representatives from the most important governments in the world, the most important governments in the AI space. And that's why we've got people here from the United States. There was controversially an invite has been made to representatives from China. But again, China is the second biggest player in the space. And then some experts would argue that the UK is the third biggest player in the AI space. So it's important to have all of those people at the table.
That might be a highlight of the event, what you were saying. This discussion between Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and Elon Musk. Do we have any expectations, any key topics or outcomes that we can expect from this big high profile conversation, I guess?
Yeah, there's going to be Spaces on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, interview between Elon Musk and the PM, Rishi Sunak. Absolutely anything could happen at that. Elon Musk is a fairly unpredictable individual, so we don't really have any idea what he might want to ask. I'm sure Number 10 would like to keep as much of a lid on that as possible and keep it as controlled as possible. Musk is a very, very unpredictable character. His pronouncements on AI have shifted. He's been involved in the AI space for a very long time. He's made a lot of investment in AI in the past, and he was a previous investor in OpenAI. OpenAI is the company behind ChatGPT, and we now know that he has his own AI company, which is working on developing its own technology. So he has, he has an interest in the space.
Mm-hmm. It'll be definitely a Musk watch. Sorry. Listen, Mark Chislak, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
My pleasure.
Now, let's do the numbers. Pre-tax losses at the online fashion retailer ASOS ballooned to almost $360 million in the year to September 3rd, and it's predicting more losses for next year. And Japanese carmaker Toyota more than doubled its operating profits in the second quarter to $9.5 billion on the back of a weak yen and strong sales. Its shares closed up 5%. Now, authorities in charge of the Panama Canal have announced further reductions in shipping traffic because of what they say is the worst drought for more than 70 years. The drought is affecting water levels in the reservoir that feeds the canal locks. And it's expected these reductions will affect the Christmas shopping period. The BBC's Katie Silver has more.
The canal, given its location, greatly reduces the time and the distance that ships have to travel between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. And to give you an idea, just to profile one economy, such as the US, many US exports and imports travel through the canal every day, about 10% overall. So it's hugely important for global trade. And according to the website, normally about 14,000 ships use it every year. That's on average about 38 a day. But now we're hearing from the Panama Canal Authority, and it says it's been forced to make the decision to restrict the vessels that can travel through it. Typically, as I say, about 38 ships every day, vessels every day were travelling through. Earlier this year, that was reduced to 31 a day, starting from the 3rd of November, 25 a day, and by February next year, just 18 slots for vessels to pass through every day. We're already seeing a big impact. It's causing shipping rates to go up. There's delays, and there's also impacts that it may have on the cost of shipping liquefied natural gas.
Katie Silver there. Let's talk business of sport now. Following in the footsteps of Qatar, it now looks as if Saudi Arabia will host the Men's Soccer World Cup in 2034 after Australia decided not to bid for the event. No other countries have shown interest in staging the tournament. Just a few years ago, Saudi Arabia was being called a pariah for its part in the gruesome murder of a journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, in its consulate in Istanbul. And according to BBC sports editor Dan Rowan, there are conflicting views about whether Saudi Arabia is a suitable host.
If you thought the Winter World Cup in Qatar was a one-off, then think again. Less than a year since the Middle East staged football's showpiece event for the first time, it's emerged neighbouring Saudi Arabia is set to play host in 2034. Once again, extreme heat is likely to make the traditional summer slot impossible. But Eddie Howe, the manager of Saudi-owned Newcastle United, has given the prospect his backing.
I think that our trips out there have been to two different places. Wherever we went was really well organised and we were well looked after. So I think if that's a sign of what a World Cup might look like, then I think you can be rest assured that everything will be structurally really good.
With FIFA's president Gianni Infantino known to be close to the Saudi crown prince, the governing body appeared to pave the way for the Gulf Kingdom by limiting possible bidders and fast-tracking the process. Saudi Arabia, just like Qatar, is facing criticism over its human rights record. Steve Coburn is from Amnesty International.
Migrant workers are regularly exploited. Those are the migrant workers that would end up building the stadiums and the other infrastructure. We know that anyone who criticises the regime is imprisoned, and we know that communities are discriminated against. So there are huge, huge risks in doing this tournament.
In recent years, the Saudi government has invested billions of pounds into a range of sports, from football and golf to boxing and Formula One, insisting the unprecedented spending is about modernising the kingdom, diversifying its economy and inspiring its people. But with the World Cup itself now on the horizon, the accusations of sports washing will only intensify.
BBC sports editor Dan Rowan with that report. I'm Liliana Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey, Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.